And here we see wed together the justice and the mercy of God in totality. God is 100% just. God is 100% merciful. He's not a 50-50 God. He's not schizophrenic. He's not nice one time and mean the next. He's the same. He works righteousness and justice for the oppressed. God knows when you're going through difficult times, He knows. And when you have been harmed by those who are wicked, He sees and He will judge. He is just. He is righteous. He's made known His ways to Moses. He's shown His nature through the law. But also we see the Lord is merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in, and there's that word again, that steadfast, unmovable, abounding, forever unquenchable love. He will not always chide. He will not always keep His anger forever. He doesn't deal according to our sins. He doesn't repay us according to our iniquities. We deserve worse. I'm a fan of the financial teacher Dave Ramsey, who has Financial Peace University. We've hosted 4 or 5 of those workshops here at this church. And when people ask him, how are you doing, Dave? He always answers, better than I deserve. And his idea behind that is the fact that I deserve a whole lot worse. God has given me what I don't deserve, grace. God has poured on me what I don't earn, love. And God continues to be faithful with that which I don't deserve, His faithfulness in my life. And He doesn't deal with this according to what we do, but He's overcoming with this powerful love. And how about His forgiveness? As high as the heavens are above the earth, that's His steadfast love towards you. And as far as the east is from the west, so far does He cast our transgressions from us. When you accept Christ, and when you ask for forgiveness, He casts that sin far away. As far as the east is from the west, it's never going to be picked up again. Some of you have been in conflict with your mate. If you're married, you probably did. Most of us do. And there are times when you can pick up old sins and bring them back and say, oh, you remember when you did that? And you remember, you know, you fight dirty, you bring back old sins. God doesn't play that way. When He's forgiven you, He forgets it. He casts it in the key sea of forgetfulness. He doesn't remember anymore. God's justice will bring truth to the world, but God's mercy pours out grace to those who call upon Him, and He never brings it up again. So when you've asked for forgiveness, amen, Jesus said it's done. So don't ask again. You've already been forgiven. That's His mercy. As a father shows compassion to his children, the Lord shows compassion to those who fear Him. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. God knows we're frail. He made us, and He knows that our nature tends towards ourselves. He has redeemed us by His blood. With our faith in Christ, He has made us a new creation, but we have some of those old habits. He says, I know that you're but dust. I know your frailty, but My love is what will sustain you. God's love keeps together the dust. His steadfast love, His justice, and His mercy is an amazing thing. Worship God with all you've got. Because of His justice and His mercy, we have a good God. Before we get to verse 15, in thinking about the injustices of the world, when we declare that God is just, we know that He will make all things right. And so those that are promoting evil in the world, they will be judged by God in totality. But that's not our judge to judge them. That's God's judge. That's His job. That's His responsibility. So we know that God will promote justice in the land. We may not see it with our eyes, but He is forever just. And we know that God will make all things right. And for that, we can be at peace. And when we call out to Him in that moment of our own weaknesses, the totality of His justice was poured out on the cross of Jesus. So He doesn't suspend His justice. It's completed so that we can maintain and live in His mercy. We worship Him. God is fair and God is just. Continue on verse 15. As for mankind, humanity, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it and it's gone, and its place knows it no more. He realizes that our lives go by so fast. Last night, as my wife and I were sending Hannah off at the airport to go to fly to New York, and from New York to Beijing, China, from Beijing to Jeju, Korea. She's going to be there for 11 months. And we're like, we had to make some last-minute baggage changes because they were overweight. So here we are. We were those people there at the counter with our bags open and stuff everywhere. And we're like, okay, put the boots over here and put the t-shirts over there. And we're trying to rearrange so we don't have to pay $569 extra. It's a crazy thing. We got it all set and got her off, and like kind of a last minute hug and a kiss and a cry and go, off you go. And we know that her life is in God's hands. That the everlasting love of God is with her just like he is with us. And that he's going to hold her safe. And that's a very comfort for us. It's a comfort when we are concerned about our parents or our children. God is a God of love, and he loves to redeem and to keep safe. And we're in his hands. Verse 15. As for man, his days are like grass. Time goes by so quickly. It'll be just a flash, and our Hannah will be back home, and then the next year of college, and our other kids, our grandbabies, third grandbaby's going to be born. Life goes by so quickly. God knows that we're like the grass. We're just here for a short time, and then we're gone. But, verse 17, but the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant, remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in heavens. His kingdom rules over all. And in this we see that his love is an everlasting love. It doesn't end. And his compassion and his favor upon all who call upon him in faith and humility, he lavishes this love upon you and says, I'm with you and I will hold you and I will sustain you and I will ultimately bring you home to be with me. Yeah, the world like grass. It just goes by so fast. But his love never changes. Never changes. Worship God with all you've got because of his everlasting love. And let's close the psalm. Verse 20 through 22. Bless the Lord, O you, his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you hosts, angels, created beings, all creation, bless God. The call is going out that all creation is to worship him. And so the psalm begins with the psalmist David saying, soul, self, bless God. And all that's within you, with all you've got, bless God. And he says, and remember all the stuff that he's done. God is so faithful. Remember that. His faithfulness continues on for generation to generation. Remember that he doesn't ever change. He's going to be with you. Remember his justice. Remember his mercy. He doesn't change, but he will have the justice at the end of time. He's good. And now he says, and finally, so while we're talking about it, all you angels, join me in this great thing of blessing God, giving the praise and the worship and the glory with all you've got. The heart of worship is a soul consumed and saturated with God. It's not about us. Not about our preferences. It's not about our taste. It's about God. Bless the Lord, his hosts, his ministers, those who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places and dominion. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Worship God with all you've got. And you can't help but just say to everybody else, join with me. Isn't God great? Praise him. Barak. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. The heart of worship. God made each of us in his image. The image that he imprinted upon us was not an external facade that's supposed to fool people. It's his very nature and the hunger and the desire to know love, the love that comes from God. He made us to know good and evil. He made us to know a moral choice. He gave Adam and Eve a moral choice. Don't eat from this tree, eat from everything else. They made the choice. Being in the image of God, they chose the wrong choice, but they made a choice in the image of God. But he put within the desire to love him. And he promised way back in the Garden of Eden, you will be at enmity with the serpent, but you will crush his head. And the serpent's head was crushed in his authority on the cross of Jesus. When Jesus died on the cross, the authority of Satan was stamped out. And when you accept Jesus Christ, that authority is now transmitted to you, and now you are endowed as a child of God. When you accept Jesus, you are saved. You are rescued from the pit, from the death, from your own life, from your sin. All of that he promises, he will forgive and heal and redeem and restore and pour out and lavish nature, his love to you and to me. We were made to worship, to delight, to take pleasure in God. Jesus said this in John chapter 4. by himself at a well in Samaria by Sychar. His disciples had gone off to get food in the village, and Jesus stops at the well and he's tired. And a Samaritan woman walks by. She comes to draw water in the middle of the day. And Jesus said, "Woman, give me a drink." And the woman said, "Why are you talking to me, a Samaritan? You're a Jewish man." And Jesus said, "If you knew who I was, you would go to me and say, 'I've got you for you living water. And you'll never thirst again.'" Sir, how do we do this? "Well, what about where you people worship? You worship in Jerusalem. We Samaritans worship on the mountain. What's that about?" And Jesus says, "You don't understand. It's not about the place. Those who worship God worship in spirit and in truth, for such the Father seeks." God is seeking for his people to delight, to be enthralled with him, to worship him. As we journey through these Psalms, there will be emotions of joy or of sorrow, of indignation, of exaltation. And the emotions that we will walk through here, they're part of our experience, they're part of our life. And through all aspects of that life is the message that God loves you. He wants you to worship him. You were made to worship. He's seeking, are you going to be a worshiper of God? It's way more than a song, way more than a church service, way more than reading a devotional. It's letting all of your life declare his glory, to love him, to delight in him, to worship him. Worship God with all you've got. Let's continue to be a people that go and pursue him with a true heart. With that in mind, let's pray. Father, you made us to praise you. You made creation that declares your goodness. And Father, as we think about how amazing it is that you love us, we're reminded that your love knows no bound, and that your love is forever just, and you would not want us to stay in our sins. But you have sent your Son Jesus, Father, to die on the cross in our place, to receive the justice and the judgment upon himself, so that we could receive the righteousness of God in Christ. We can receive that mercy. So, Father, we thank you that you've made us to know you. You know that we're but dust. You had a plan. You sent your Son. He died on the cross. He rose from the dead. Now you are calling our hearts and souls. Today, here in Sandwich, Massachusetts, you're calling souls across Cape Cod. You're calling souls across this land. You're calling souls across the world. Come to me, the Son of God, Jesus Christ the righteous. We see all through the Psalms that, Lord, your love and your justice are forever expressed in their manifestation in Jesus. Thank you for these songs of praise. We want to be a people who love you. We want to be a people that honor you. We want to be a people that walk in forgiveness. We want to be a people that don't have to listen to the craziness of the world or the lies of the enemy anymore, that we are loved by God. Thank you that you give us that opportunity. And for those that want to begin this journey, maybe for the first time, you can pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross. I believe you made me to be in relationship with you. I have sinned and I have turned from you. Forgive me. Wash me. I surrender my life to you. I ask you into my heart. Save me, Lord Jesus. And oh God, you said, whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So for who you are, God, show yourself strong. Turn our hearts to evermore worship and declare your greatness with our lives, with our emotions, with our minds, with our actions, with our words. To bless you, Lord, O my soul. Thank you for being a great God. Receive our praise now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.